Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're pleased to welcome our longtime friend and guest, Scott Miller in San Diego, Bleacher Report, Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio. Scott, there's a lot that we could sift through, just these four games, and yet we're off and running like a shot. So what stands out to you about day one of the 2020 playoffs?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, the Yankees, the Bronx Bombers have their lineup intact after an injury-filled year, and it looks like they're hitting their groove pretty well right now. That stands out. The White Sox, great start from Lucas Giolito stands out. And then, of course, the Twins losing their 17th consecutive postseason game over all these years. I mean, one of these years or days, they're bound to run into a win. But that, as if 17 in a row is not bad enough, today, that was a particularly tough loss today. I mean, they had the 1-0 lead. Then it was 1-1. And it was 1-1 into the ninth inning, and then they just gave it away. Polanco, the shortstop, fielded a nice job fielding a tough play on a ground ball back toward the outfield grass, but, he threw the ball. Should have had the force out at second base, but he didn't stop and set his feet. He had plenty of time, but he threw off balance, sidearm, and threw wild, and so the runner was safe at second. And then not long after that, Sergio Romo, the veteran reliever, with the bases loaded, walked in a run.
Right.
And those two things in particular just left you shaking your head like, oh my gosh, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back tomorrow, because that was a gut-wrenching loss.
A lot of what the Twins have run into over those 17 games has been the Yankees. So I thought maybe they'd be in a better situation and that it wouldn't turn out the same way, right? So it's not the same people. It's not even the same opponent. It's just, man, sometimes it doesn't go your way. But as you point out, these are self-inflicted wounds for the Twins.
Yeah, and you're right about the Yankees, because they've lost 10 or 11 in a row to the Yankees. And it seems like the last several times they've been in the postseason, they've immediately gotten bounced by the Yankees. And, that was the thing, Amy, last week. It was only about it was about 7 to 10 days ago. The last 10 days of the American League race were a little wild in the seeding, the 1 through 8, kept changing. And for a while, about a week ago, the Twins were the number 4 seed and the Yankees the number 5 seed, which meant they would have played each other. And I was, even back then, to your point, I was like, oh my gosh, just whatever happens with the Twins, please let them play somebody other than the Yankees. I don't know if anybody in the country wants to watch that again in October. And sure enough, the Twins ended up winning the division, getting the first seed. And or the second seed, and then they play the Astros, and wouldn't you know it, things still don't change for their fortune.
The Yankees paid a lot of money for Gerrit Cole to be on their roster, and then of course it's a limited number of starts during the regular season. But this is exactly the kind of situation that they brought him in for. But how much does it matter that the lineup is healthy again?
Oh, big time, yeah. I mean, because the Yankees, I don't think their pitching is deep enough to go all the way on pitching alone. They're going to have to outslug some teams, and that's hard to do in October, because you don't get a steady diet of the other guys' number 4 and 5 starters. I mean, you're getting quality pitching on most nights, and you're getting some pretty good arms, both starters and relievers. And so it's tough to just slug your way to victory at this time of year. But, if today was any glimpse of what could be, and given that the Yankees, we know what their lineup can do, if today was any glimpse moving forward, then the Yankees are going to, after a rough sledding season in which, you know, for a while they were in third place behind Tampa Bay and Toronto before they finally passed Toronto. But they're going to be pretty dangerous if, you know, because they've had so many injuries. I mean, for the longest time, it seemed like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were both on the injured list. They had other injuries. They lost James Paxton out of their rotation for the season. And, you know, I mean, there were some dicey moments where you wondered, geez, A, might the Yankees not even make the playoffs? And B, if they do, are they really that good? Well, with Judge back in the lineup today, I mean, you know, they're facing, you know, the best pitcher in baseball this year. Shane Bieber has been unbelievable, and he didn't even break a sweat yet. And it was he was trailing 2-0 when Aaron Judge, you know, put a charge in that ball, second batter of the game, to, you know, put it over the fence and give the Yankees a 2-0 lead. And, you know, and then the bottom of the lineup, Brett Gardner was hitting, Gleyber Torres was hitting. And if that continues, you know, that especially that bottom of the lineup, if those guys start getting on base for when it rolls around again and you get DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, those guys start coming up with guys on base, you know, that is not a recipe to success for their rivals.
Scott Miller is with us from Bleacher Report and SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Following day one of the Wild Card Series, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I just saw this on your Twitter a little while ago that you picked the Rays to get to the World Series, which I think if you're going to pick outside the box, you might as well do it in 2020. But what makes that team special?
Yeah, I mean, pitching. They have pitching, and more pitching. I mean, you know, Blake Snell was really good today. You know, the Glasnow goes in game two and Charlie Morton game three, and their bullpen's good. And, you know, they don't have a lot of the household names, but, you know, they really have done a nice job with that organization. Kevin Cash, the manager, knows what he's doing. He's got a lot of, guys that maybe, you know, the casual baseball fan hasn't heard of, but, he's got a lot of good parts, and he deploys them well. Key moment of the game today, Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays just smoked a ball between short and third, line drive, and Willy Adames, the shortstop for Tampa Bay, leaping grab and snared it, and that was a game-saving catch. You know, they can flash to the leather like Adames did today. And as I say, they can pitch. You know, Manny Margot hit a 2-run homer. You know, they're a pretty complete team. And, you know, you don't have to tell the Yankees about that, right? I mean, they dominated the Yankees this year. It could be a very interesting series if the Rays meet the Yankees, you know, next week in a division series.
I actually was joking with my listeners last week that I was pretty sure the majority of American sports fans couldn't name five guys in the Rays starting lineup. But that's kind of the beauty of this organization, is that it generally does turn over a lot, but they always seem to have really good pitching. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Scott Miller. The format itself, there's been a lot of debate about. The commissioner's already indicated that 16 teams is too many moving forward, but in 2020, how do you like the format?
You know, for this year, I don't have a problem with it. Amy, normally, if it's a normal year, you know, meaning 162 game season, non-pandemic, and boy, won't that be nice when we get into one of those years again. But normal season, you know, I'm one of those lifelong baseball guys that could be accused at times of getting a little grouchy or being too much of a purist. And I do worry about, you know, too many teams in the playoffs because, you know, it might be fun in October, but you play 162 game season for a reason. And if there are too many teams in the, you know, you keep expanding the playoffs, that's just going to dilute the season. And then you get into, well, why even play 162? Why not cut it to 120 or whatever it's going to be? And it also, part of the dilution of the season would be those exciting races in September will be diluted because, hey, three more teams make the playoffs this year. So, you know, some of those September races won't mean as much. So, okay, all of that said as background, I'm totally fine with 16 teams this year. You know, again, I think baseball did a good job getting the game back on the field against tall odds.
Yes.
I think from Manfred's office to the owners to the Players Association, they figured it out how to keep players and coaching staffs healthy. I know early on we had that Marlins outbreak, we had the Cardinals outbreak, and around that time, you know, we were all talking about, geez, this might not work. They may, you know, we might not even make it through half a season. Well, they figured some things out, and, you know, the players sacrificed greatly because when they were on the road, they had to stay in their hotels. You know, it got to the point, especially after the Cardinals and Marlins breakouts, that, you know, finally they said, look, when teams are on the road, you can't even go out to dinner. You
right.
got food brought in, et cetera, et cetera. All the credit goes to those guys for doing that. I think most of, you know, I think everybody's thrilled. We even got a 60-game season.
Right.
We're thrilled to be at the playoffs. You know, it 16 teams, again, 162-game season. I'd be singing a different tune. But I think right now, you know, we all need to be grateful for what we have. And it's going to be an exciting month. I mean, what do we got, 8 games on TV tomorrow? It's like the NCAA tournament.
We're in the middle of talking to Scott Miller, national columnist for Bleacher Report, Sirius XM, MLB radio analyst. And Scott, you're based in San Diego. Thanks so much for hanging on, by the way. I would say the Padres are a story that a lot of people can get excited about. They're relatively new. They've done a lot of rebuilding here. What's turned them into a contender?
You know, combination of things. One, some of the moves they made with offensively, you know, Manny Machado, signing him last year, he lost interest the last 6 weeks of the season while the Padres were losing. He came back determined to prove he was the same Manny Machado we watch in Baltimore. He's done that. Obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr., I don't have to say much about him. I mean, that kid's only like as good a prospect, the best prospect probably I've ever seen. He kind of slowed down the last 3 weeks of the season, but until then, he played at MVP caliber. You know, they made some nice trades. AJ Preller, general manager, credit to him. You know, people look at last winter, he acquired Tommy Pham from Tampa Bay, and what was overlooked is coming over with Tommy Pham was Jake Cronenworth, the rookie that ended up winning the second base job this year and has done a remarkable job. So what they've done by putting all these pieces together, Amy, the Padres offensively the last 6 or 7 years, they ranked last in the majors in on-base percentage. They ranked 28th or 29th in OPS and slugging percentage. They struck out a ton. This year, they finally turned that around. They cut way down on strikeouts. OPS, they're third or fourth in the National League instead of last. On base percentage, I think they're seventh in the league instead of last. They're getting guys on base, and they're doing a couple other things. They're home runs. They've got a ton of power in the lineup, and they've been using it. And also, they lead the National League in steals, which I like. They play aggressively. You know, steals, that's almost like a throwback baseball way to play. You know, you don't see many stolen bases anymore, but you know, they're getting on base a lot more than they used to. They're being aggressive on the bases. They're taking the extra bases. They've got some pop. It's all worked pretty well. It's been a pretty exciting year for them.
Scott Miller with us here after hours. So before I let you go, the Dodgers, they are big bad, and they flex their muscles, and they won 43 games and clinched the best record overall with a week, it felt like, still to go in the regular season. How set up are they? I know it's only on paper, but how good is this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think until somebody tells us differently, they're the best team in the National League. We should, by all rights, see them in the World Series again. They're certainly built to win a World Series this year. You know, okay, Mookie Betts, he's a piece they didn't have in the past. Mookie Betts is, you know, he's had an MVP caliber season. You know, Corey Seager's bounced back. He's been really good. The Dodgers' biggest issues, I think, what they've got to figure out this month, Cody Bellinger, the reigning MVP in the National League, has not swung it that well at all, nor has Max Muncy. You know, they could use getting those two guys going. And then pitching wise, Clayton Kershaw has really figured some things out, you know, at, I don't know if I want to say the twilight of his career. He's not quite there yet, but say the back nine of his career. You know, he doesn't have the fastball he once had, but the slider and the curve, he's figured a few things out. He secretly and quietly went to that drive line up in Seattle over the winter, the pitching guru place where a lot of these guys go and figure out through analytics how to employ their stuff better. And Kurt, that seemed to have helped Kershaw. After him, you know, Walker Buehler's going game one against the Brewers on Wednesday. And Buehler has it in him to be a legit top of the rotation ace. His workload's been a little down this year. He started slow. The Dodgers slow played him early in the year. And then he's been hit with a blister the last few starts. And he says he's okay tomorrow. We'll find out once he takes the mound. But again, if the Dodgers are to do what they should be able to do, aside from getting Bellinger and Muncy and a couple guys like that going, they're going to need Buehler, the blister to stay away, and Buehler to have his A game.
I just went to a game at Citi Field about 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you what, it was more strange and surreal in person than you would ever recognize on TV. I am really impressed that these guys can even generate the energy. And I know they play baseball for a living, but it's different, and it is quiet, and it is almost sleepy inside these stadiums.
Yeah, you're right. That's all those descriptions are accurate. I think, from what I've seen, and it's not a surprise because without fans this year, basically what baseball is this year is a made-for-television show, like any other show they put on TV. And specifically within that, what I mean is, the piped-in crowd noise, for example, and I don't know if that hit you when you were at Citi Field, but one thing I've noticed in ballparks is when you're watching games on TV, that piped-in crowd noise, if you kind of forget about things for a minute, maybe you walk out of the room, you come in, you might hear the crowd noise, you immediately look at the TV like, oh, what's going on? I mean, it works. It works on the telecasts. But in the ballpark, it's really weird. Because at least in Petco Park in San Diego, it sounds like the piped-in crowd noise is coming from the outfield. It's like from the infield, you don't really hear much. Instead of like coming from all around the stadium, it's coming from like one area of speakers. And you're right, it's quiet. It's not as loud in person as it is on the TV.
Nope.
And you got a sea of empty seats. And, you're up in the press box, you can hear guys yelling on the field.
Yes.
Certain times. And yeah. So it's weird.
It is definitely weird for sure. Okay. You can find Scott on Twitter at Scott Miller, BBL, a national columnist for Bleacher Report. You can hear him on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. We are just getting started. So we'll talk to you again soon, Scott. Thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure, Amy. I always enjoy talking baseball with you, my friend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.